cleansing atmosphere of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you are not still in the spirit, you may be seated. If you are still in the spirit, that's okay, because that's where he wants us to be. And that's in the spirit with him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. There is none like him. I would like to thank each and every one of you that are here today. But most importantly, those that are streaming with us. Welcome to the hour of our daily bread. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to drink a little water here right quick. Setting the atmosphere of faith through praise, prayer, and patience. God bless you. So, getting started. You have your Bibles with you, please turn to me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start with the first verse, and it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Skip down to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I know in some Bibles it says diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to skip on over to Jeremiah 29 and 13 because it states all the way back then in the Old Testament that for those who diligently seek him, Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Faith. We're setting the atmosphere of faith for the next few weeks. And we need to understand some things about faith. Faith is confidence. Faith is trusting. Faith is believing. Faith is having surety and certainty without any proof. Let's define the atmosphere. The atmosphere is a few of them, but I took the last one, the third one, because it resonated where we are today. And it is a surrounding influence or environment.
Come on,
we're setting the atmosphere of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we're starting with praise. So, praise is offering up thanksgiving, glorifying our Father. It is the beginning of an intimate relationship. With the Holy Deity. Because before I knew how to pray, I knew how to praise.
Come on now.
I'm talking about from a young age. Before I knew how to pray, I knew, yes, Jesus loves me.
All right.
Before I knew what the Word of God said, I was singing Going Up Yonder. Before I knew anything about the Word, I remember them singing, there's a stranger in the city, and he's healing. He's healing the blind, the lame, prayer, I remember them singing Change. Before I knew anything about the Word of God, I remember You brought the sunshine. I remember praising Him before I even knew the Word. Before I even knew the Word, I remember them singing Jesus is Love. Before I knew anything about what the Word of God had meant in my life, I was singing Precious Lord, Take My Hand. At a young age, before I knew anything about prayer and the Word of God, I knew there was praise on my lips. I didn't know what it was about. So young people, let me tell you, continue to praise Him. Don't worry, the Word is coming. But we got to start somewhere, and that's the beginning of an intimate relationship. That's the beginning of it, is your praise. Before I knew anything about what complaining was, I was singing, I Won't Complain.
Come on now.
That was the praise on my lips. Amen. And before I knew how much real problems I had, I was already singing, Work It Out. Work it out. Work it out. Amen. Amen. And then, before I knew I had any mountains to climb, I was singing, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Before I knew anything about the Word of God, I had praise on my lips. Anybody want to agree with me today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so great. And He is greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Before I knew what my offense was, I remember the song going forth saying, No charge. Glory to Your name, Jesus. See, before I got anything started in the Word of God, there was praise on my lips. Praise on my lips. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. As I stated, praise is the beginning of the intimate relationship with the deity. That is our praise. Amen?
Amen.
So, now that we recognize and remember that we had praise in us all the time. Mm-hmm. We did. We had praise in us all the time. It's always been praise in your heart and on your lips. So, I'm just going to confirm what comes next after praise. That is your worship. And how we praise and worship out of side of song is through the Word of God. Psalms 119 and 93 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. See, right there tells, see, that's my foundation. The Word of God is my foundation. So, and in remembering that, I know that the Word in Scripture, Psalms 119, verse 105 says, thy Word is a lamp to my feet,
yes, mm-hmm,
and a light to my path.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, without this Word, we'd be running around in the dark.
Yes, mm-hmm.
The Word is light.
Mm-hmm.
The Word exuberates light,
yes,
into our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I praised Him. And now I understand that I got to get some Word in on me. We got to have Word, not just praise, but we got to have some Word in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, in understanding what faith is, defining faith and the environment in which we're creating our faith in, let me tell you, chapter 11 of Hebrews is like the the Faith Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Fame. You know how they have Football Hall of Fame. Well, chapter 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. Okay. And it starts with so many. I admonish to you, please read chapter 11 of Hebrews 13. Get that in your spirit. So let me tell you about faith. Faith is what we're working with, the three W's. Worship, your walk, and your witness. Setting the atmosphere of faith. Abel, as we know in Genesis, Genesis is what? The book of the beginning. The first book of the Bible, right? In the beginning. Remember, our praise is an intimate worship, intimacy, the beginning of an intimate relationship with our deity. Amen? So in the book of Genesis, it talks about the beginning. And it talks about faith from the beginning. Why? Let's go with Abel. He was the start of it. Abel, that is Adam and Eve's second son. You know, Cain was the first. Abel was the second son. So, Abel, whose name means temporary, Abel gave God his best. Just out of, I don't know, just out of today being today. You know what? I'm going to give God my best today. That's how he woke up every day. Praise and thanksgiving on his lips. I'm going to give God my best today. That's what Abel did. He gave God his best. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look at Enoch. Not the first Enoch who was born to Cain. I'm talking about the second Enoch who was born to Seth.
Come on now.
Which is the seventh child out of Adam.
Break it down.
Enoch, we hear a lot about Enoch. Enoch lived to be 365 years old. Now, I'm like, that's interesting. Because it's 365 days in a year.
Yes, it is.
That's interesting. And then knowing that lineage of Seth is the lineage of Christ. Now, Enoch worshiped God. He did everything. Everything, he walked with God. And he walked, I basically like to think he walked right on up to heaven. Although, you know, there probably isn't any stairs to go that way, but yeah, that's pretty much what Enoch did. God received Enoch. Why? Because out of all of his life, that's what he did on a daily basis, is he praised God. He praised the Lord daily. He lived that life. He didn't just walk the walk. Talk the talk. He walked the walk. Isn't that what is what? We as born again believers are supposed to do? Amen. We're supposed to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Enoch is an example of your walk. Abel was an example of your worship. Enoch is an example of your walk. And Noah, out of that same lineage, Noah says, you know what? God told me to build this ark. And it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And they said, you're crazy. It ain't never rained that long. And it ain't never going to rain that long. But Noah was obedient to God. And he is an example of the witness. Because what God said he was going to do, Noah witnessed it. He witnessed God just ripping out this country, ripping out the earth. Destroying it with water is basically what he did. And Noah witnessed that. But he did, Noah was also obedient. Because see, Noah did what God told him to do. Remember, saints, our faith walk ties into obedience, resilience, endurance, character, love. Now we get faith versus flesh.
Uh-oh, let's start something now.
By the way, the book here is not just an insurance policy, but it is a book of faith from cover to cover. Trust and believe. It is that book. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when you got flesh, when you're dealing with flesh, you're dealing with negativity. You're dealing with doubt. You deal with unworthiness. You deal with lack of. And whatever the lack you having of is, whatever the lack of, that's what you're dealing with in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You deal with self-gratification in the flesh. Yeah. You also deal with hatred in the flesh. You deal with envy in the flesh. Is that sounding familiar? That's what we do in the flesh on a daily basis.
Amen.
That's what we deal with on a daily basis. And when you're dealing with that on a daily basis, you're like, oh, so how can I get out of this? How can I get past this? Amen?
Amen.
On a daily basis. Now, when we think about faith and how we're setting the atmosphere of faith, I want you to remember that we all are a work in progress. But newsflash, you gotta be progressing to something.
Yeah.
Don't say I'm a work in progress and you're not progressing to anything.
Come on now. Make it plain.
Lord, I'm a work in progress. What you progressing to? You can't say you're progressing to not sinning. How about, Lord, I'm progressing to sin less? A little bit less today. Okay. Lord, I know you're not keeping track, but I'm not going to sin as much. I'm not going to say as much. This tongue here, I'm not going to say as much. The more I talk, the more I sin. Do y'all know that? The more I run my mouth, the more I sin. Sometimes I say, stop it. Stop it. We have to remember that our flesh is against our faith.
Yeah.
Our flesh is against our faith. Why? Because the flesh is natural and your faith is spiritual. All
right. Come on now. Amen.
That's what we go up against. That's what we deal with. That's what you wrestle with on a daily basis. But I promise you, if you get up in the morning, your feet tip the floor and you're just like, thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. I woke up this morning. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Man, I can use my hands. They hurt it last night, but thank you. I can lift them and praise you today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. Out of the house in the morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because what you see here is, that's all natural. That's all real. Every morning, I'm up. I'm loud. And I am thanking God. Why? Because I know what I got to deal with out there. On a daily basis. I know I got to deal with that person that's cutting me off. I know I got to deal with that coworker that really don't like me.
Come on now.
I know I got to deal with that neighbor that keep playing that loud music and won't let me get no sleep. I know. I have to deal with this on a daily basis. That's why you have to get up in the morning with praise on your lips, thanksgiving in your heart. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. Because I remember when.
Child, remember when. Man.
Some people don't want to let you forget. However, if I didn't have a past, I wouldn't have a future to look forward to. Because, see, that's what the past is. It's telling you what you used to be. That's all that is. The past. Some people try to take you back there, too. That's why, once again, I get up in the morning with my praise on my lips. I remember when I thought I was Bonnie. And Clyde, yes. That's why, thank you, Lord. I remember when. Y'all remember that movie, Set It Off? I was gangster. Thank you, Lord. I am not what I used to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. A work in progress. What am I progressing to? I'm progressing to be a better me for Him.
Amen.
I am a representative of Him now. I'm not a representative of Bonnie and Clyde anymore. I'm a representative of Christ. But remember, when I was a kid, I was singing, I was praising, I was doing all of that before I knew the word. Before the word was able to resonate in my spirit. Before I knew that my flesh was battling with my faith. Just because you are not where you want to be does not mean that He does not have you where He wants you to be.
Come on now.
We get so caught up. We have society dictate our faith to us. Society would say, you know what? Go to school, get a college education, and you can get your dream job, get your dream home, get your husband, your wife, your two kids, your dog, and your white picket fence. Society would dictate that to you. However, didn't know that I was going to have a child before I had a husband. Do not let where you are not in your life does not mean that that's not where God will have you at that time in your life. He is doing a great work.
Amen.
And if you get that in your spirit every day when you wake up, giving Him thanksgiving and praises unto Him, He's going to keep reminding you. Yeah. I got something for you. And guess what? What God has, can't nobody take away.
No.
So remember, get that joy in your heart. Because He's the only one that's going to give it and take it away from you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, our flesh will dictate to us that we don't have no faith. Oh, matter of fact, you shouldn't have no faith. You shouldn't. Why? Because you keep doing the same old thing, getting the same old result. Or you keep not doing what I told you what to do.
Come on now.
Sometimes, you know, when I was a child, my mother would have us, when we had our speeches, mind you, I'm over half a century now. But when I was a child, my mother, we had a speech, whether it was for Easter, thank you so much, that's beautiful. Whether it was for Easter or Mother's Day, whatever, My mother would make us stand right there in front of her and recite every word, line for line, word for word, until we got it right perfectly. And I'm like, okay, this is the 20th time. Can I quit now? No. Because it didn't sound convincing to her. Okay. And she still does that to this day to her great-grandchildren. If they got a speech, they're going to stand right there in front of her until she's satisfied on how it's supposed to sound. Because if she like it, that means everybody else going to like it. And that is how she grilled in us, made us practice it over and over and over and over again until we got it right. So Pastor Martina, what does that mean? What are you saying? I'm saying is your life is a daily. You got to do it over and over and over and over again until you get it right.
Amen.
When we have lost the time to get it right is when we are no longer in the land of the living. In the land of the living. That's when your time is up. Oh, time is up. So until then, every day you wake up, we're going to get it right. We're going to keep trying it over and over and over and over. And not that we're trying to be perfect, but we're trying to be perfect in our praise. We're trying to be perfect in our study. We're just trying to be that what he would have us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So I'm not going to rush this thing. I'm going to take my time. I don't want to rush it because I don't want you guys to miss anything. In the Old Testament, they were talking a lot about faith. You had your faith. And they had examples of faith. And all they could do was rely on what God had told them. But they didn't even know what the promise was. They didn't even know that Jesus was the promise. Even when he came on the scene, they still did not recognize that he was the promise.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
When you know who your promise is, that helps you be able to praise, prayer, and have patience that much better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving on our lips. Mwah. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are in my life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's talk about faith versus flesh. Now, Naomi, in the book of Ruth, that's faith and flesh, because the daughter was going and following the mother no matter what. She said, your God gonna be my God.
Amen.
I'm gonna go where you go. And the mother was like, I got too much tragedy in my life right now, girl. You better go on. See, that was her flesh talking. But the daughter-in-law had the faith to believe that it was all going to work out.
Yeah.
And she moved in there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. David and Saul. Saul was the king that they had asked for.
Yeah.
But he was of flesh, as it turned out to be. But of course, God knew that. And here's David, the young man, after God's own heart. Why? Because he walked in faith. He had faith. He prayed. Now, mind you, these people weren't perfect, but they didn't know what the promise was at the time. They were trying to create this atmosphere of faith through man. They wanted a king. They wanted judges. God gave them priests. He gave them prophets. He gave them all that he asked for. But they still did not have that intimate relationship. See, they were getting to God through man. You're still not going to get the promise The promise is still, they still miss the promise. See, they had a go-to guy. And even that go-to guy had to be perfect before going to God. Mm-hmm. Because if he didn't, he was no longer the go-to guy. Mm-hmm. He was just a dead guy. So, in the Old Testament, it talks about time and time again how God has said, you know what? I love you. I brought you out of bondage. I mean, more so than anything, I created you. You don't think I love you? I want you to have a relationship with me. Have one with me, please. I love you. Turn from them idols. Stop worshiping all those idols. Stop worshiping your job. Stop worshiping your car. Stop worshiping your house. Stop worshiping your tent. Stop worshiping the cliques. Stop worshiping everything else. Why? Because I'm jealous like that. Y'all know somebody like that? Yeah. Stop it. I'm here. I want you to have this with me. Come to me. Nope. Israel's life was like, nope. Not gonna happen. I'm not ready. Yeah, because I remember that. I'm not ready. Not I'm not worthy, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. You know, give your life to Christ. I'm not ready. I got one more day. Some people do think they got one more day. And I want y'all to continue to pray for them, that they will be enlightened, that no man knows the day or the hour. Amen? Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So throughout the Old Testament, that God was trying to have that intimate relationship with his people, and time and time and time again, it didn't work. Flesh came up. Flesh kept coming up. Flesh kept rearing its ugly head. I know this girl in me sometimes, I was like, you don't sit yourself down somewhere. I'm trying to love on the Lord with my husband, and that flesh is like, well, he left the toothpaste off. I mean, really, that my flesh is really trying to just cut up. I'm trying to love on the Lord with my husband. So, throughout the Old Testament, flesh kept rearing its head. So, you remember some time ago I said, you know, Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they were together at the beginning, right? When they said, let us create man in our image. And then it probably went, soon as man fell, Jesus was like, I guess I'm going to have to be the one to go. Okay, so now 430 years have gone between Malachi and Matthew. Old Testament and New Testament, breaking it down. Now Jesus is on the scene. Jesus is learning what it is to be a follower of Christ. Of God, excuse me. So Jesus is learning that word. He is in the word. He's learning it. He's meditating it on the day and night. And I'm talking about as a young lad. He is meditating on that word day and night. Day and night. Jesus is meditating on that word. And then the time comes for his ministry to flourish. So, in the point of his ministry flourishing, now he's getting ready to teach. He's getting ready to teach the people, but guess what he had to do first? He had to get some disciples. He said, I need to teach a closer audience first. Then I'm going to go out to the masses. Okay, so he got the 12 disciples. Now here's the problem with flesh and faith. In Matthew chapter 6, when he's talking about don't worry, verses 25 through 33, and he's telling his disciples, don't worry. Stop worrying about things you can't change. Have faith and believe, because if you worry, you can't move. If you're worried about where your status is going to be or where your position is going to be in life, you won't move. See, faith is saying, I don't know where my status, I don't know my position, but as long as I'm staying in you, Christ, I'm moving. I'm moving. I'm staying focused. I am moving. So, and that's what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples in Matthew chapter 6. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then we go to Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 through 32, when he's talking about, with now, at this time, Jesus is with his disciples. Now, his disciples is in water, on the boat, I'm sorry, and Jesus, he was resting for a while, and then he came and started walking on the water. And they was like, oh my God, who is that? A ghost? No, it's Jesus. And Jesus like, if that's you, Lord, tell me to come. Jesus said, come on. And Peter gets out the boat and start walking on the water, start coming to Jesus. Then he got distracted. You know what happens when we get distracted, right? When you take your eye off of Christ, it seems like everything just starts falling apart, don't it?
Yeah.
You started losing stuff. Stuff started. I mean, when I say losing stuff, I'm talking about money. I knew I had that $20 in my pocket. I knew I had that $20 in my pocket. But see, I took my eyes off of Christ, and I got distracted. I don't even know where the $20 at. Got a hole in it. Because I was not focused on Christ. That's what Peter did. That's why he started saying it. Because he took his eye off of Christ. Keep your eye on Christ, no matter what you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then that Jesus also asked him, he's like, are you a little faith? Really? So you keep your eye off of me, you're going right back to your flesh. Remember that message. And then Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, the Canaanite woman. Her daughter was possessed. She was like, can you please heal my daughter? And he was like, Jesus was like, no, I came here for the Jews. I'm not dealing with no Canaanite. And she was like, but even a dog can get some scraps. He was like, your faith. Go ahead and walk on in. Mm-hmm. Walking in the faith. Faith gets flesh. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. And then we look at Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 33, when we talk about the woman with the issue of blood. Now everybody crowded around Jesus. And this woman said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. See, she already had faith, and that's what she was moving in. Mm-hmm. She stayed focused. It was masses there, but she stayed focused on him. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And when she did that, instantly she was made whole. Why? Because her faith was moving.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had done everything in the flesh, and nothing was working. So she decided to move into faith, and her faith healed her. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
He said, your faith has made you whole. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is great. Give my hand clap of praise. Now, even after Jesus died, after he did his ministry for 3.5 years, and then he was ushered to Golgotha, and he was crucified on the cross, and on the third day, he rose with all power. Guess what? His disciples were still moving in the flesh. They still had not got it yet. They hadn't started moving in the faith. They were still walking in their flesh. How we know that? John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. When he had to come back and show them the holes in his hands, the hole in his side, and telling Thomas to stop doubting. And he said that. He said, now, I had to show you. Remember what we said faith was, right? I don't need no proof. I just believe and trust it. I got it down. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I had to show you. He said, what about the believers who don't see me and still believe?
Yeah.
How blessed are they? Who believe in me and have not seen me. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So now they finally getting it. because he gave them the great commission. Go out there to the highways and the byways, baptizing everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and know that I am with you. Amen?
Amen.
That's all the disciples had to do. But they didn't want to go nowhere. However, they did get it, though. They did get it. They started moving in their faith. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, how they came together. And once Peter got it, he was able to display it with everybody else. Now they are moving in their faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when they move in their faith, and we're about to close out, now we're in the praise mode. We're in the praise mode. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. Now Peter and John, they are off on their mission. And they get to the gate of Beautiful. The gate called Beautiful. And they see this beggar. This beggar been here day in and day out. You say, well, I'm a work in progress. What you working on, begging?
You know what?
So, and that's what he did for a living. And when they got up there to the gate, he didn't do anything no different than what he had been doing day in and day out. But they walked up to him and he was like, can you help a brother out? And they're like, really? Do you know who we work for? We ain't got no money. Ain't that right, Pastor? Do you know who we work for? We work for Christ. That's right. I'm telling you, we already rich. That's right. Right. We already rich. We already rich. He said, they said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we have, we give it to you. He's like, and he really probably thought he was really about to get some. And then they extended that right hand. And he's like, well, Jesus of Lazarus, rise up. It was their faith. See, they started moving in their faith. They're working in their faith. They're working in their faith. And so then he wasn't sure, so he stood up. The legs probably stood on up. Then he got a, shut it up now. Like, Lord Jesus. And that's what he did. He praised. He ain't know nothing about God. But he knew what praising was.
Right.
Why? Because he looked at his legs and they probably looked new. Those same old legs he had been looking at day in, day out, they was lame. They wasn't no use for him. But see, now he got a praise going on. Why? Because now his legs are strong. Your walking in Christ gets stronger as you get in this word of God.
Amen.
Your walk gets stronger. Let me tell you how strong your walk gets. And I'm going to take this from Pastor Arnice. Your walk is strong as you in the word. Then when your walk is strong, your praise gets even stronger. Acts chapter 16, verses 25-31. That's Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they out doing missionary work. We are work in progress. What you working on? We working on saving souls for Christ. And that's what they did. They was working on saving souls for Christ. But then somebody came up, you know how you go, you were in Christ, and you got those naysayers. Those ones like, really, she really ain't no ambassador for Christ. You know, she probably a soldier of the flesh. Yeah. Yeah, that's what people be thinking. But Paul and Silas, they were captured, and they were accused, and they were put in prison. And what did they do? They prayed, and they praised. Then they passed on knees. They praised. They praised the Lord. They praised the Lord. They praised the Lord. They praised the Lord. They had faith and belief that they were not going to be in this situation forever. And at midnight, 12 o'clock midnight, 12 a number of divine government. At midnight, they was praising. They was praising so hard as that the shackles just fell.
Yeah,
shackles
yeah, yeah,
on
yeah.
my feet.
Yeah.
Won't let me dance.
Yeah.
But that's what they did. They praised their way out, not knowing what their outcome was going to be. But they praised their way to victory in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. To God be the glory. Give him a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Now, that is what praising does when you're dealing with your faith versus your flesh. So now that I got some word in me, my praise now is, I see I'm reminded now on a daily basis. See, he reminds me that I'm worth something. He reminded me that he's with me in the midst of it all. He reminds me daily because he orders my steps. Every day I wake up, I tell him, speak to my heart, Lord. And then he told me for every mountain that I've been over, he's been right there with me. To God be the glory. And everything that I went through, I keep saying, I got a testimony. That's my trials and my tribulations. I turned it to my testimony. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. He told me to be grateful. I am grateful. You are grateful. And as long as we continue to do what God asks us to do, he will not leave us nor forsake us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Understand this. In the middle of what you're going through is his love right there in the middle with you. You're not in this alone and you're not by yourself. So, I want everyone that is able to get on your feet. It's time to praise. Praise.